From the Arts Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning. I want to say thank you to all the listeners who are listening, catching us live, and those that will eventually catch us on podcast. Glad you're joining us. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I want to mention that the music you've been hearing was by Ty Arliss, and today's show is being dedicated by both Rocco and myself to an old local legend, Bill Friday, who just passed on.
You're absolutely right, Claudio. And as you know, Bill Friday was probably the most influential person, university employee, in the last 60 years at this university.
I've been watching some of the stuff on PBS, and I did not know the man was quite that accomplished.
One of the finest gentlemen you would ever meet. Just an incredible, amazing personality, and was able to do so much for this school that I don't think there'll ever be another person like him, ever.
I can well imagine. I was absolutely stunned. I was watching some of the interviews on PBS, and I was stunned by the many and varied involvements that he had. And I want to make clear that we're dedicating today's show to Bill Friday, but the show will not be about Bill Friday, with exception to what Rocco and I are discussing this morning. What the show is about today, I'm going to have a guest who's actually going to be doing a call-in. His name is Alan McCabe. He is Vice President of Sales at Hughes Network Systems. The show is going to be about American families to experience faster internet and increased performance, and he is apparently a big wheel in that arena. In this role, he manages the North American field sales team at Hughes. Alan joined the company in August of 1995 to form the consumer sales team with a focus on the launch of their new set-top satellite video business and satellite internet service and products. Prior to joining Hughes, Mr. McCabe was Vice President of Sales for General Instrument Corporation, now Motorola. He is a 1977 graduate of Kent State University in Kent, Ohio, and is an 11-year veteran volunteer with the National Park Service, giving more than 6,500 hours of his time at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. He'll be joining us today in a little while by call-in to talk more about satellite internet and the focus currently being made to expand broadband high-speed internet to rural Americans. This is a pretty unusual show for me, but I thought it was timely, so when I was approached, I thought we'd have the old chap on, and he's going to be calling in at about 10:10. But I want to go back to Bill Friday just a little more. You said that he'd had heart surgery, what, a couple of months ago?
I believe so. And, of course, he died at age 92. And
that's a good life.
He was president of the university here and the university system for 30 years. I believe president of this university for 30 years. But then somewhere, maybe in the last 10 to 15 to 20 years of his tenure, many of the universities that were state-owned were consolidated, and he became the president of the whole system.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, just to be able to stay in one university is an accomplishment, but to stay that long and then encompass that much. How did he pull that off?
He just was such a good administrator and such a such an organizer. And he met so many important people in this country, and you'll see pictures of him with President Kennedy and President Lyndon Johnson and Bill Friday. Bill Clinton.
Yes. Well, it's just him looking in the mirror, right? Bill Friday.
He had an incredible career.
No doubt. And, of course, he had his own television show. For how long was that on?
I think that was 25 or 30
Easily,
years.
Yeah. And wasn't that still going on?
It was on last week.
Unless they were playing reruns, I had assumed he was still doing it.
He was just an incredible person, an amazing person, really.
Certainly a big loss locally.
He had a law degree from this university. Mm-hmm. I believe he went to law school here after World War II. And so he goes back to the 40s, 1947, 48.
History in itself, and he had a great love for the common man.
He did.
Which is quite refreshing to hear these days, because it seems like everything is going into the arena of the rich. So, big toast to Bill Friday. Why don't we have a little more Ty Arliss to touch that off?
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. All the radio you'll ever need is Community Radio, WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, 103.5 FM.
Hello, folks. Coming right up, we're going to have Alan McCabe, who is the Vice President of Sales at Hughes Network Systems. He's going to be joining us today to talk more about satellite internet and the focus currently being made to expand broadband high-speed internet to rural Americans. I know this isn't the common type of show that I do, but it just seemed to me that this was timely, and I enjoy a challenge once in a while of doing something I've never tried before. So I understand you're online. Hello, Alan McCabe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you actually calling from?
We are based in Germantown, Maryland, which is suburban Washington, D.C., about 30 miles north of Washington, D.C.
Gotcha. Well, welcome. And since this is in some ways going to be a little bit of a challenge to me because I don't normally get this technological, I invite you to lead the way on what you're about to explain.
Okay.
I've already done the introduction of you. I'm sorry. I've already done the introduction of you, so please take it from there.
Sure. Our company, Hughes Network Systems. Our background is in satellite technology, satellite communications, and the company was originally founded many years ago by Howard Hughes.
Oh, my goodness, I had no idea.
Yes, and although his background was, you know, a lot of military and aviation, the company's evolved to a telecommunications company. And that's our claim to fame in this part of the company. And we originally started doing business-to-business communications. Companies with hundreds or thousands of sites located around the country or even around the world wanted to connect all of those companies' stores together, and they needed a network to do it. And rather than piecemeal it together by using local providers, we provided national coverage. A great example I use, if anybody has ever put gasoline at the gas pump, and of course we all have,
right?
And you use your credit card at the pump, that credit card processed by satellite, and almost every gas station in the United States has a Hughes satellite dish on their roof. The credit card information goes via satellite to the processing center where the credit card is processed and cleared. And then the information is sent back to the gas pump so you can pump your gas.
Right, which happens amazingly quickly. I want to create one little interruption here. We're having some difficulty on the phone line. It's sort of getting you a little bit in and out, so I apologize to any listeners for that inconvenience. I know we just moved into this new station here, and there are still some things that need tweaking, so I apologize to you as well, Alan. But
No problem. It all sounds fine on this end. So.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah. So that's just one example of the business-to-business communications. Hundreds of retailers use us to connect their stores together, to monitor inventory, to do distance learning training, digital signage, anything that is needed to connect a company together in terms of communications and training and so on, we do. So about 15 years ago, we got involved in the consumer side of the business, using the same expertise, the same technology that we had developed over 30 some years, 40 years in the enterprise business. We brought that expertise into the consumer marketplace. And what we discovered is in this country, even as technologically advanced as we are, and everyone talking about high-speed internet, is that more than 10 million homes in this country and not on the internet in any way except using slow telephone line dial-up speeds. And for those of us that live in an area where we do have high-speed internet, and you know, most of us at work go in and we're online and we're screaming fast, and but many people go home and their only connection to the internet is over a telephone line.
Yeah, I can
people
see that.
Doesn't reach out that far. DSL doesn't reach out that far. Wireless doesn't reach out that far. And the reason it doesn't is simply the distance between homes. At some point, it no longer makes economic sense for a cable company or a phone company to run high-speed internet out to rural America. They just don't get the return on investment.
I can imagine. Now, DSL is certainly the big thing right now.
Sure. But DSL suffers from the same problem. They have two problems, really. One is the further you get away from their main processing center, generally the slower the speed becomes. So folks that are miles away from the switching or processing station can see much slower speeds than those that are very close to the central processing.
That's very much what I'm subjected to. I live in a rural area, and I live deep in the woods, and you're right. I don't even get complete pictures.
It's like water pressure, right?
The
further down the line you are, the less pressure there is. And the other problem, too, again, is that that requires an upgrade of the phone lines to be able to process DSL-type speeds. And again, the more rural a home is, the less likely it is that the local phone company is going to have the resources or the interest to run a DSL line out to the country.
I could see that. Yeah. So, what are you proposing in that regard?
Well, what we launched about 15 years ago was satellite internet, and about 30 million homes right now in the country have DirecTV or Dish networks.
Right.
They're very familiar with receiving their television via satellite, and there's no reason that internet can't be delivered via satellite as well. So when we launched that in about 1995, 1996 time period, it was what we called one-way, meaning the system delivered the signal to the home, the internet to the home by satellite, and the request went out over the phone line. But about 10 years ago now, we evolved beyond that, and it is now a complete two-way satellite connection to the internet. So a consumer, no matter where they live in the United States, as rural as they want, can get one of these internet satellite systems from Hughes, and they are going to be online. It's always on, no phone line required. And we've evolved the technology to the point that this year in July, we launched our biggest satellite ever, which we codenamed Jupiter, the largest of the planets. It is an enormous satellite and extremely high-powered. And now we are delivering speeds up to 15 megabits per second.
My goodness.
Across the United States. And that speed rivals a lot of cable systems. It's certainly faster than many DSL services that are out there.
Now, is this economically approachable for the average person?
Yes, in fact, the service plans, even for our 10 megabit per second plan, start as little as $49 a month. So we're very competitive with cable and, in some instances, DSL. But for a consumer, actually, now this new satellite allows us to start to even market to suburban America, where people like yourself who may be on DSL,
yes,
but can't get speeds more than 750 kilobit per second or 1 or 2 megs, now can see a 10 to 15 megabit per second plan for as little as $49 a month.
Goodness. Well, before we go on much more, and I certainly want to discuss this technology a lot more, I'd like to have my listeners hear a little more about you yourself, your own background, which is pretty impressive. I read the paragraph that Matthew sent me, and obviously, there's a lot to you. I've appreciated the 6,500 hours of your time for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in D.C., and looks like you just have a pretty impressive background overall. Would you mind indulging us a little bit in that?
Oh, no, not at all, and I appreciate you asking. So, growing up, like many of us in the 50s and the 60s and reading the Popular Mechanics magazines and, satellite and satellite technology all seemed like science fiction stuff.
Sure.
At that time, and we were all watching the space launches in the 60s and the landing on the moon, and so suddenly here in my life, satellite technology came a reality, and I got involved in it in 1982, actually working at a retail store, and we sold satellite systems, and those used to be, if your listeners will remember, the big 10 and 12 foot antennas, and
In
some areas of the country, even like North Carolina, we called them the state flower because they were everywhere. in rural America, and I just loved it. Now, this is my 30th year now in,
wow,
the satellite industry, and we've seen the technology evolve to now the dishes are down to, you know, about 2.5 feet. They fit on the side of the house, and as I mentioned, over 3 billion homes have DirecTV and Dish Network.
They used to be the house, right? I remember the front lawn.
Oh, yes, it used to be the house, is right. And now, you know, hundreds of channels in digital high definition.
That's amazing, yeah.
It truly, truly is amazing, the technology leaps over the years. Then, because I live near the Washington, D.C. area, and I've always been a history buff, about 11 years ago, I began volunteering down at the National Mall,
mm-hmm,
with the National Park Service. And as a child of the 60s, you know, I grew up during the Vietnam War and ended up actually even going to Kent State University, which has its own unfortunate history associated with
the Vietnam War,
with the shootings in 1970. And
one of us hippies, yeah. I'm just referring to you.
Yeah.
As one of us hippies, I remember that era well, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. There's no question the war divided this country and, you know, was very controversial in the anti-war protests and so on. So when the Vietnam Veterans Memorial was built in 1982, which is interesting, that's the year I started in the satellite industry, so not only my 30th anniversary, but in fact next month is the 30th anniversary of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Right.
And I've been honored to volunteer down there on the weekends, and as you mentioned, have a little over 6,500 hours down there. It truly is a humbling experience.
I can well imagine. What sort of work did you do?
Well, as volunteers for the Park Service, we will work at the memorial. We'll answer questions. We're basically interpreters of the memorial, the history, the symbolism. We help people locate the names of friends and loved ones. We do tracings or rubbings of names.
I see.
People often do off of gravestones. And, you know, it's talking to visitors about the meaning of the memorial. Comforting and consoling visitors who may have lost a family member whose name's on the memorial. It's helping our veterans get through it. It's a tough time for many of them to come down there, particularly those making their first visit to Washington. It keeps me grounded.
I can fully appreciate that.
If they say at work on Monday, they can always tell if I've worked at the memorial over the weekend, because it does keep the other problems you have in life in perspective.
I can see that, almost like going out to sea in a way. I spent a good portion of my life at sea, and there are a few things in life that can so remove you from where you are because of how they touch you and affect you, and I somehow seem to connect what you're saying to that. I was going to suggest, let's take a moment here for music and see if we can't tweak the system here to get you to come in a little clearer on our end. I'm pretty sure the people are hearing you quite well, and I'm glad it's okay on your end, but there are a few things I think we can tweak here. So give us a couple of minutes here with a tune by Ty Arliss and some identification, and we'll get back to you, Alan.
WCOM Community Radio is made possible by our underwriters, contributors, and our volunteers. Support us. Donations are always welcomed. We're your voice in our community.
world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP-FM.
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along with you. We're WCOM Community Radio. Now back to Claudio.
Good morning. Once again, I want to mention that today's guest is Alan McCabe. He is the Vice President of Sales at Hughes Network System. In this role, he manages the North American field sales team at Hughes, and that's after Howard Hughes, I'm told. Alan joined the company in August of 1995 to form the consumer sales team with a focus on the launch of their new set-top satellite video business and satellite internet service and products. Prior to joining Hughes, Mr. McCabe was Vice President of Sales for General Instrument Corporation, now Motorola. He is a 1977 graduate of Kent State University in Kent, Ohio, and is an 11-year veteran volunteer with the National Park Service, giving more than 6,500 hours of his time at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. He joins us today to talk more about satellite internet and the focus currently being made to expand broadband high-speed internet to rural Americans, those like me back in the woods. Back to you, Alan. You still there?
Oh, I'm still here. Good morning.
Good morning. I just thought I'd mention that again for anyone just tuning in. So, continue on is probably the best thing I can say.
Okay. So, so we were talking about volunteering, but...
Yeah, so we were at the memorial.
Yes, but I guess back to the business at hand.
Indeed.
Which is satellite technology.
And I want to apologize again for the strange radio situation we've got going on here. We're not losing you completely. Everybody can hear what you're saying. But for some reason, we're coming in high and low. So I apologize in advance, and we'll make up for these imperfections with the next show once the system's properly up and running. But don't worry about not being heard, because you are.
Okay, great. So back to satellite technology, we launched our new satellite this summer, and now providing speeds across the United States up to 15 megabit per second. You know, folks are used to either... Our statement with satellite broadband and the high-speed internet is love where you live and live where you love.
Mm-hmm.
The people that live in rural America often choose to live in rural America.
Like I do, yeah. I like the woods.
Yeah, they want to be out in the country and get away from the crowds and have some space. But it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have the same access to high-speed internet, connectivity to news and information and all of the things that they're urban who live in suburban or urban America have access to. And for many folks, it's particularly frustrating because they work at a place that has high-speed internet. And not that anyone would ever do this, of course, but to go on the internet or browse or whatever during the time that they're at work. But they do tend to...
Perish the thought, yes.
Perish the thought. But they do tend to get used to high-speed internet at their work.
Right.
And then they go home, and it's frustrating.
It's like driving a Volkswagen. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and you're stuck in a traffic jam on the interstate. So, you know, and there's so much anymore in our society. You know, we used to measure how many television sets were in the home, and now it's how many computers do you have in your home.
I can imagine.
And, you know, many studies show that the average home now has 3 to 4 computers. And all of these wireless devices are connected. You know, we want access to the internet on them. Our iPads and our iPhones and Droids and all of these Xboxes and all of that want to connect to the internet. Even your television sets, in many instances, the new digital television sets have an internet connection on them. So if you don't have high speed internet in your home, you are missing out on a lot of things that the folks in suburban and rural or urban America have. And when you think about the things we do on the internet now, and those of us that have high-speed internet, we just take it for granted. We're banking online, we're shopping online,
yeah.
We're on Facebook, we're looking at YouTube videos, we want to download movies, we want to download songs, we want to share photographs with friends and loved ones across the country. You know, we Google things and somebody asks a question and, oh, I'll just go to the internet and get the answer for that.
That's the new brain, that's for sure. I see people doing that all the time. You ask them a question and it's amazing the history that they can pull up on the subject.
It absolutely is incredible. And sometimes, you know, I'm almost 60 years old myself, and I get, you know, on my belt is a cell phone with internet connection. If I don't know something, you just Google.
Yeah.
Up comes the answer. But we need high-speed internet connection for that. So all of the websites you go to now, they're so rich with videos and animation and lots of color and graphics. And you can dial up. It is a frustrating thing. And in fact, one big thing we've seen over the last 10, 15 years is more and more schools are having the students do their homework and their research online. And I can't even imagine a family with a child in school in rural America on a dial-up connection to the internet. It has got to be so frustratingly slow for the student to be able to do any research. And so many college courses now, adults seeking new employment because of the economy, they're trying to get training online, they're trying to do research online to get a new job, and you need high-speed internet for that.
No doubt, and I'd always assumed that satellite was eventually going to be our rescue, so that's one of the reasons I was looking forward to having this conversation. I think my co-host Rocco has something to add.
Alan, I'd like to ask you, where do you think the internet online, where is it going? What's the next step? The next step up that's going to take place with it for all of us?
Well, I think more and more we're going to see the internet used to download large files, movies, and music. Both DirecTV and Dish Network this past year announced plans to offer and incorporate internet, satellite internet, as part of their offering. They want to be able to push movies on almost a pay-per-view basis. People want to be able to download movies. Dish Network bought Blockbuster over a year ago, so they have titles to thousands and thousands of movies. And you don't have to watch a movie anymore on your television set. You can watch it on your computer. And you want to be able to download it, store it on your hard drive, and watch it when you want.
That's the way the business is going. I can see that aspect of business losing out unless it does go that way.
Sure. We've become a very mobile society, and we want to be able to watch what we want, when we want, where we want. And that's why all these wireless hotspots have shown up at Starbucks, McDonald's, and all of these other places, because it's funny, we all joke about it. There's four people sitting at a table and they're all texting each other.
Right, I know.
Instead of actually talking to each other.
Well, Alan, do you believe that television, antenna and television, digital television over the air, will eventually just be coming through on the internet online
via satellite?
Well,
via satellite or. So we could just watch on-the-air live television through our computer easily, any of the stations
and
that are out there.
And would we still be subjected to a telephone line?
Well, there's been a lot of evolution. I don't see the standard television going anywhere in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
People still like to come home after work and plop down an easy chair and relax with the family and watch television. The delivery of that signal, it's what I call a push technology, meaning the broadcaster is sending out a signal, and whether it's going via satellite or going out over the cable line, it's pushed out to the home. And that's an example with Dish Network. So if you have, you have 14 million subscribers, so when they push out HBO, any home that's authorized to and is paying their subscription fee for that would be able to pick up the HBO signal.
Mm-hmm.
Internet is a little different in that it is a two-way. It's a push-pull technology. where you're logging onto your computer, you're saying, I want to pull down this information off the internet. And it goes to a website, it may go to a network, it may go to a particular shopping or banking institute or whatever, and pulls that data down. So television video is more of a push out technology from the broadcaster. Internet is more of a request.
I can see them being separate animals, so to speak. And I'm wondering, do you see the day that we will no longer require a phone line to connect our computers to and go directly off satellite somehow, or is the phone line always going to be part of the picture?
Well, the phone line itself, the old copper twisted pair, is a very inefficient way to deliver internet.
No doubt.
Satellite internet will probably not be a strong competitor in urban America. Cable systems that have put in fiber, that have put in big trunks that can handle huge capacity at very fast speeds and have been able to afford that because the people are much closer together, obviously, in urban America. That's a pretty good technology there.
Mm-hmm.
But as you start to get out into suburban America and rural America, it's there that satellite will become more and more of a major factor.
I know
now that we have these high-speed satellites up there.
I know that the telephone companies are enjoying the fact that they can still, you know, be profiteers in that realm. I was just wondering if we'd ever see the day when we could have maybe smaller systems that go completely independent, where you wouldn't need a phone line at all. It seems like the cell phone technology is going in that direction very much so. But
well, our next evolution, which we plan on introducing in the spring of next year, is voice over internet. We're a consumer. And you see the ads on television now for Vonage and other phones that connect over the internet. And satellite will be able to transport telephone calls as well. It's called VoIP, or voice over IP, or voice over internet protocol. And with a small box that connects to your computer, you'll be able to have your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'll be able to deliver data to the home and phone to the home, and of course with Dish or DirecTV you'll have video to the home. So really all three major services there, telephone, internet, and video, can all be delivered via satellite.
That certainly gives one hope for the future, because I like the idea of the wireless connection myself.
Yes.
And so what is the next big thing on your agenda, other than what you just pointed to?
Well, our thing right now is, now that the satellite is fully operational, we officially launched our new high-speed service on the 1st of October. And our goal now is to try to bring high-speed internet to 10 to 12 million homes in the United States that have been surfing the internet at incredibly slow speeds on the phone, or over their phone line. And it's a big market out there, and we're excited about it for a number of reasons. First of all, because it brings high-speed internet to rural America. But a couple of other things we're really proud of. You know, we're a U.S.-based company. We build much of our product right here in the United States. In Maryland, we've got a large manufacturing facility, and we employ thousands of independent dealers and installers across the United States. Not only selling the product, but also installing the product, taking customer care calls. So we really, in a time over the last 10 years where the economy struggled, and unfortunately a lot of folks looking for work and struggling to keep their head above water, this industry, the satellite communications industry, has actually grown. And we're employing thousands of people, and we're very proud of the fact that we've been able to grow and to keep a lot of people employed across this country and put food on the table for a lot of families.
So we do still have a little slice of Americana in our own backyard.
Yes, we do. We sure do.
Good to know. Rocco, did you have something else?
Alan, I'd like to ask you one other thing. How secure are these lines? We have people that do online banking, pay their bills, utility bills, telephone bills online. how secure is it for that person where they would not need to worry about someone hacking into their computer or while they're online being hacked into and their ID stolen, all of that, that world. What's being done with that, if anything?
Well, the satellite signal that we use is a DES, or digital encryption system. It's military-grade encryption. It's extremely secure. So it's not the transport of the signal either way that's really the problem. It's people letting somebody know their password.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, we see in the news some corporations have had a breach of security and somebody breaks in and steals their passwords. Those are at one end or the other of the system. The system itself is absolutely secure, and we have never seen a breach in anybody being able to hack into the system.
Well, that's good to know.
So it's incredibly secure. It's just, you know, people need to protect their passwords on their end. And make sure that, you know, that they're taking care of their own security.
I think that's good to know, and I know our listeners are interested in these things.
The one thing I wanted
when you think about it, right? There's a signal traveling through space, right? And somebody could pick that up, but it is digitally scrambled and encrypted, and it has never been broken. It is military grade encryption technology, and very, very secure and very safe. And as I mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the program, most of the gas stations in the United States use Hughes technology to process their credit card transactions. And believe me, those large gas companies, the Exxons and so on in the world, have done their due diligence to make sure that we've got very secure systems.
I would think so. In some respect, we're all familiar with the product already. I wanted to ask you very quickly, to anyone listening, Alan, give us your contact information, website, and anything that listeners can go to.
Sure. A consumer can go to www.hughesnet.com. And on there, they'll find, and by the way, it is customized so that it's easily accessible for people on their phone line.
Good.
They can learn about all of our service plans up to the 15 megabit per second plan. It talks about the technology, how it works, how easy it is to install, and we've got special offers where a consumer really can get into the system for zero down. They are leasing the system, but it's free installation and zero down, and as low as $49 a month. And also one thing on there, too, there's a little tab that they can click for a local dealer. And a lot of people prefer to buy from a local dealer, somebody they know, somebody in their community. And then they've also got local support for installation, and if they ever have a problem, somebody local they call up. And they just put in their zip code, and it will call up all of the local HughesNet dealers.
Perfect.
Who have a storefront and a showroom, and they can go in and look at the product, see how it works. And it will be that dealer that will do their installation for them at their home.
Fantastic. And I'm sure they can also read up on any kind of history about the company. I think it's a fascinating aspect that Howard Hughes had something to do with it a long time ago, that this is sort of a branch of something he put together.
Yes, yes, indeed. He was quite an innovator, and we're proud to carry on that that legacy from Howard Hughes of being an industry leader in technology.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for being on, and at some point I would like to continue this, because I'm sure as you guys evolve, it'll be worth doing a show again, and hopefully the technology on our end will be more adaptable to the purpose.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure talking with you today, and I really appreciate your time and your interest in satellite technology.
Absolutely, and I want to thank you for joining us, and consider yourself a part of the Speakeasy family, and I'll stay in touch by email, and we'll do this again at some point.
Sounds good. Thank you much.
Thank you for joining us. Alan McCabe, Vice President of Sales at Hughes Network Systems.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, heard on WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro.
You, my friend, have connections in the government. 1-800-FED-INFO, the official source for all government information. And like any good connection, there's no telling where it can take you. Why, one day you're getting student loan information, next thing you know, you need job hunting tips. So whether you have information to get or ideas to give your government, call 1-800-FED-INFO. Who knows? Money-saving tips today could lead to retirement planning tomorrow.
I'd like to tell you that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Thank you.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, coming to you from the Art Center in downtown Carrboro on WCOM. WCOM is a community radio station that serves the community and depends on the community for its support, moral, intellectual, and financial. The station is a voice and sound for Carrboro and Chapel Hill. We are WCOM FM 103.5 on your radio dial. Well, Claudio, looks like that's another show.
I think so. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We had Alan McCabe, who is Vice President of Sales at U.S. Network Systems, introducing us to the potential experience of faster internet and increased performance via satellite. I think that made for a pretty interesting show. I want to mention that today's show is dedicated to the one and only Bill Friday. And since we are engulfed in a political season, remember that politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often, and for the same reason. Back to you, Rocco.
Claudio, I think we had a good show, and I think our listeners enjoyed it.
We apologize for the technical difficulties on the phone line, but hopefully everybody heard everything.
So until next week, this is Claudio's Radio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, there we go.